The Bible study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary. Your turn to Ask the Pastor. We'll open the phone lines in a minute here. Our guest is Pastor David Jewell from Our Savior Lutheran Church in Moments, Illinois. Good morning and welcome back.
Thank you, Paul. A privilege to be with you as always.
Thank you. And remind our listeners, where is your part of the state?
I serve in eastern Kankakee County, about 50 miles due south of Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Any Mormons in that neighborhood?
Kind of, sort of, but most of them are closer to Chicagoland, actually.
Oh, are they really? Further
yeah.
north? I'm surprised at that.
Huh. Well, so am I.
Yeah, yeah. Our topics are wide open here, dealing with religion, with faith, with doctrine. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If you prefer, you can email the studio, KFUO at KFUO.org. Real easy to do from your iPhone or your iPad with the free KFUO app. Real easy to contact us here through a wide variety of ways. Our phones are open at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Are you a Cardinal fan, even though you're so far north?
No, sir. even though I'm from Southern Illinois originally, I am a proud diehard Cub fan.
Are you really?
Yeah, yes, I am.
Well, there's always next season.
There's always next century to go.
There you go. Hey, you posted something on your Facebook page, and tell our listeners about it and why you did that.
There was something that has been going around the Internet. I saw it probably a month ago, but it has really taken off over the last few days. And it is a fake ad for this fake compact disc called Wrong Worship. And I don't know if you have some of the sound bites there,
oh,
Paul,
I do.
Or not.
I've got the audio here. The song and video was produced by First Baptist Church of Orlando, Florida. And they're highlighting routine and shallow worship practices among some believers. And like Pastor says, it's gone viral on Facebook. That's a little bit of fun here, a little fun on Ask the Pastor. Let's listen to this and then get Pastor's take.
Introducing the latest CD from Holy Parodies and the Don't Worship This Way band. It's Wrong Worship.
I will sing of your love on Sundays. Only sing of your love on Sundays. I will sing of your love on Sundays. Then this feeling is gone by Monday.
That's a play on the song I Surrender All.
Jesus, I will give you little. I surrender. I stand amazed at my hairdo. My stylist outdid herself. I lift my hands and see my.
Now and get these bonus tracks.
Great is this song. Sing with me, how great is this song. Man, I love to sing. Oh, yes, just to sing this song.
Savior, I don't need a savior. I'm busy living my life. Busy.
Christmas, go to church on Christmas, and maybe Easter too, so my faith is renewed.
I've sung this song for years. It's now a standard here. But I still sing it.
now to get these just plain wrong worship songs. Sing them in your church, your car, anywhere you want to act like you're worshiping when you really aren't.
And that's the point of the parody, me-focused worship.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that is something that has become a hobby horse for me among my congregation and even some of my brethren that serve in this neck of the woods where, I'll give you an example, Paul.
Yes.
Just this Sunday, before church, I come over and open up church and everything, get the lights on, make sure everything's okay. And there was a large line of cars across 2nd Street from my church over at one of the homes. And it was about a dozen cars, some of them painted, good luck, wish you well, go moments. There was a cheerleading competition somewhere up north towards Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And here they were all taking off in a caravan at about 8:15 that morning. And I thought to myself, I hope they went to church last night if their church offers Sunday morning. Because, as you heard one of the songs say, go to church on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that there are those who do make their appearance in church just on Christmas or maybe on Easter as well. But this parody is funny, but it's not. Because it shows that the Christian faith is not just 1 hour on Sunday or two. It is a lifetime commitment. And just a few weeks ago, I had the pleasure of confirming an adult who had grown up Roman Catholic and had sought out other Christian congregations, and she started coming here. And as I instructed her, I could tell that she was just, her appetite for the truth of God's Word was not easily quenched, which is a good thing. Always asking questions, very good comments. Here's a person who said, when I go full on with something, I make a 100% commitment to it. And I love your congregation and what is preached here. I love the Lord's Word. I love His body and blood. And I would like more of this. And God give all pastors someone like this lady. I tell you, Paul, it's wonderful.
Was her introduction to justification, the concept, the doctrine of justification, an epiphany for her?
Yes, absolutely. It was a burden lifted off her back, not only the doctrine of justification, but also understanding the proper distinction between law and gospel was a big, big eye-opener for her. For the first time, you could see just in what she was reading and what I would have her read in the instruction, she would come back with questions, and I always like to do a little quiz on, is this law, is this gospel? And I was asking her things like that, and she was getting it, which is great to see.
And was she frustrated with her early tradition after that? Frustrated that she was told things that, well, she apparently discovered weren't exactly true.
Yes. The one thing she told me more than once was, I have always been inquisitive about the Christian faith, and I've always asked why. And it got to the point where family members and even her priest would just say, you have no business asking this question. Don't worry about it. Just believe what we tell you. Why do you have to ask so much? And that was one of her major frustrations that led her away from the Christian faith.
Almost like she didn't have enough faith. Hey, just have some faith and give into it.
That is right. And it took a number of years for her to come back around to the church again. But now she's found, with the help of the Lord, a place where, and I told her throughout the whole time that I was catechizing her, the only bad question is the question that you don't ask. So ask away, and if I can't find an answer, then we have to say together, great is the mystery of God.
Mm. We're going to go back to the video, and
yeah.
Those songs are great songs, not lyrically maybe, but they are hit records.
Oh, yeah.
In Christian circles, yeah.
Very familiar, very familiar. And to hear them twisted around like that, to fit what seems to our eyes to be what many Christians do is disturbing.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Phil, you're on Ask the Pastor on KFUO Radio with Pastor David Jewell.
Hello. Yesterday I did see that. Someone put it on Facebook on my page, and I, as I was listening to it, you know, I was I maybe laughed a little bit, but then I did get to a point where I was actually saddened, and not just for others, but for myself too, because I, you know, I know there's been many a times, you know, I've been in church at worship and my mind was somewhere else, and you know, I was all focused on me. You know, and I'm not sure where they went with this video, or if they did this live. It looks like they did it live, maybe in a church. But who is it depend on, how we get out of that state of mind, or how we stop looking inward? Does it depend on us, or does it depend on how we stop resisting God, or is it all God, or is it kind of a combination?
Good question. Stay on the line.
Fantastic question. At least as we Lutherans understand it, it is all God at work here. When we come to divine service on Sunday morning, it is our opportunity to sit and to stand and to kneel and to let the Lord serve us. All week long, we go serving others as the Lord has first served us. And then the Lord says, okay, have a seat for the next hour or so. Let me serve you. Let me bring you forgiveness of sins. Let me bring you eternal life. Let me bring you salvation. Let me put that wonderful gospel, that good news, that my son Jesus has taken away your sin and has given you eternal life. Let me put that in you through the word and through the body and blood of Christ. And what a joy and privilege it is as a Lutheran to know that we can sit and rest for an hour and not have to be worried about all other things. Certainly, these things will race through our mind, but we would ask that the Lord try to keep us focused on His word and on His forgiveness.
Any follow-up, Phil?
Yes. So the more exposure to God and His word, I mean, not just on Christmas or Easter, but the more exposure to His word is where we need to be.
That is right. Being in the Lord's house often, being there as, if you can every week, and not just there, but also at home in the reading of God's word and the meditating on God's word and hearing the story of salvation, hearing the family story. I always like to call it the family story because we are all part of the family of God, grafted into the vine of righteousness. Hearing and reading that word and meditating upon it, and hearing good preaching, good gospel preaching, how that is applied to your life concretely by the pastor. The more you're there, the more you surround yourself with it, the more it becomes a part of you, and the more that God's word literally forms you from the inside out.
Thanks
good
for the
word.
Call,
Thank
Phil.
You.
Now, if I can follow up, are there a lot of people out there going to church for the wrong reasons?
I hope not, but I fear that they are. For some, perhaps, it is because this is what Mom and Dad did on Sunday morning. This is what Grandma and Grandpa did. And for some people, there is a little bit of fear involved in that, Paul, because, if Grandma finds out I'm not going to church, and especially if Grandma finds out I'm not taking her grandkids to church, or Grandpa finds this out about his grandkids, boy, they're going to be upset. So I guess I got to do this so I can keep family off my back, or I can keep up appearances with friends, or I can check in and see what the latest news is at the church, or anything like that.
Now, as a listener advocate, I can hear somebody thinking, "Yeah, but Pastor, at least they're in church."
At least they are in church, amen, and let me not judge their heart at the same time, but I don't, as a pastor, have a pair of x-ray glasses. It's not possible for me to judge hearts, but certainly if someone is not in the house of the Lord and is not hearing that word and is not receiving Christ's sacrament of the altar, then, boy, how difficult can it be for that person then to call themselves a Christian and to live a Christian life and yet not have any sort of contact with the means of grace?
Perhaps some people are motivated by thinking that it's something they're doing for God, that they've carved out this hour out of their week to give it to God. They're doing this for Him.
That's right. And this is always a danger, even for the most faithful Christian, is to be very careful that when we go to the house of the Lord, it is, again, the Lord serving us. And it's not so much about keeping up appearances or hoping that the Lord will put a tick mark by your name in the book of life, saying, okay, you were here today, good for you. But it is about being fed. It is about rejoicing in that word and about letting that word, as I said a minute ago, informing you so that from the inside out, as you go out into the world, you may serve others as the Lord first served you.
Have you ever had someone say, Pastor, you know, I go to church, life is hard, and it makes me feel good on Sunday mornings?
Yes. And I pray that the good feeling that they have comes from the objective word of grace that is given us in worship on Sunday morning. When a pastor kills that person with the law and condemns them and says, this is not the way the Lord would have you live, but then to turn around and say, but Christ has taken away your sin and given you eternal life, you are blessed by Him. And I hope it is that, the leaving of the house of the Lord with not just a good feeling, but joy, a state of being in the fact that Christ has died for me and risen from the dead and has given me a place with Him forever.
I'm getting an earful of Joyce Meyer from my sister who's visiting town. She's a fan because it makes her feel good. And she was telling me that Joyce Meyer at first resisted having smoke and special effects on the stage during her gatherings. But then she relented and gave in to it because the young people want it. And it's okay with her now. And so my sister's telling me, you know, it's basically a feel-good experience.
I've heard
that's
that.
That's the attraction.
I've heard that. That people enjoy going to congregations like that where they can feel good. I had a guest.
Why do I want to think about how sinful and awful I am?
Oh, that's right. And that leads me into. I had a guest at my Bible class a while back. This is a while back now, and it seems to me that this guest had told me. She said, "Pastor, all I've ever heard in my life is just law, 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 law in the church. Do this, do that, do this, do that." And she grew up Lutheran. And she had discovered a particular evangelist or two that you see on television and said, well, this person finally is giving me something good to feel about. I feel good when I watch this person. I feel good when I watch that person. And I come to find out this person or that person is disguising the joy of the gospel by the law. Or, in one case, is not even preaching the law, denying that there is the law working in someone's life. And that is dangerous ground, Paul. It's dangerous ground because good feelings result from in the Christian, good feelings result from the objective joy that we have in the life and death and resurrection of Christ, not in our personal feeling, personal response to any of this, or
personal preferences, whether or not you like smoke on stage.
Right. I like smoke, but I like smoke from incense on the high holy days, which we do have here.
You do?
Yes, we do. But I don't have smoke machines here. I don't have...
No laser lights?
Strobe lights? No, none of that. We try to keep it simple here because the gospel is a very simple thing.
Let's go to the phones, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Hi, Francis, you're on KFUO.
Hi, I've been reading a lot of JFK lately, and I wanted to run a paraphrase I came up with by the pastor and get his comment. Ask not what you can do for God, ask what God has done for you. And I'll hang up and listen on the air. Thank
okay,
you.
Very clever.
That is clever. I like that.
That's what happens in worship, right?
That is true. Ask not what you can do for God, ask instead what God can do for you. And what God has done for you is he has sent his only begotten Son into the flesh to bear your sin and to be your Savior, and he gives us the concrete means of his forgiveness of sins and his life to us, especially in his holy word. And what a better privilege, what greater privilege do we have as Christians than to go to his house and to let him, as I keep saying, serve us with his joy.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. David, you're on KFUO with Pastor David Jewell.
Thank you. A couple comments I want to make, and maybe you guys can think about this. My personal opinion about churches, I'm saying a lot of churches, that they have become entertainment centers. You go to a lot of them, and it seems like they have become, they got a stage with a lot of musical instruments and the sound system in the back. Yeah, I think it's geared more to younger people. Also, I used to belong to a Church of Christ. It was a cappella, non-instrumental.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally left that body because I looked at them as, I got to a point where they expected you to be there three times a week, twice on Sundays, on Wednesday. And if you weren't, you were looked at as a second-class Christian. And I couldn't live up to those kind of standards. And that's where the last pastor you had on there, you can twist the Bible to make it say anything. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, Hebrews 10:25. And you could take that and make yourself like a Pharisee. Because if you are there three times a week, you think of yourself pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And other Christians that can't make it or they have other obligations, you kind of look down on them. And I think a lot of times churches can be dangerous. And especially in the past 50 years where you've had this explosion of all these neo-Pentecostal, or you have these entertainment centers, money's involved, and people are like sheep, and they just go along and get hypnotized by other people. So I know the break's coming up, but I thought I would let you guys kind of jaw that over and talk about it. Thank you.
First of all, I like your name. David means beloved. That's such a wonderful name, namesake there. Let's take the first part, and just quickly here, because I know we do have that break coming. He's right, and this is such a big draw, but I would like to shift his demographic idea and say that perhaps it's not so much for the younger people as it is for the younger people at heart. Those who are in their, let's say, around the age of 50 to about 70 years old, surprisingly, would enjoy this. And some of it may be the fact that it keeps them young at heart, and they're thinking, well, if I go to church and if it's like a young person's experience, then other young people will like this. But there's a surprise with that.
And let's hear that when we come back from a break here with Pastor David Jewell from Our Savior Lutheran Church in Moments, Illinois. We'll be right back. Phones remain open during the break at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's Ask the Pastor on KFUO Radio.
Servanthood is a core value of Concordia Seminary. To be a servant is alien to so many people in our society. Even some clergy take on authoritarian airs. But Jesus, Son of God and Lord of all, came as a servant. We want Concordia graduates to model servanthood to their congregations and to their communities. Servanthood, that's the Christian way.
This is Rob Otrembiak, Executive Director of Humanitry. Sunday, November 13th is Humanitry Sunday. Learn about the ministries, services, and programs of Humanitry, a Lutheran social ministry organization. Opportunities for guest speakers, volunteering, serving on our board, and making a difference for families impacted by incarceration, homelessness, single parenthood, and poverty. Please call us at 314-772-7720 to celebrate Humanitry Sunday, November 13th.
God loves you unconditionally for who you are, not what you do. That truth can be hard to accept in today's performance-driven culture. On the next Focus on the Family, musical artist, speaker, and author Sheila Walsh describes her journey of striving to be a perfect Christian and finding God in the midst of her brokenness. Next time on Focus on the Family.
Weekdays at 9:30 on KFUO Radio.
You can provide for the people you love and the ministries you care about, including KFUO Radio, through a charitable estate plan. By establishing a charitable annuity, trust, or other planned giving instrument, you and your spouse may enjoy cash payments for life and at the same time leave a legacy gift for KFUO Radio. Contact our gift planning specialist to learn more.
Call Joan Harwell at 800-844-0524. That's 800-844-0524.
Cross Purposes. I'm Steve Coleman with today's Religion Roundup. A full panel of federal judges has declined to rehear the case of a war memorial cross in a public park in San Diego that's been deemed unconstitutional. Hiram Sasser is director of litigation for Liberty Institute, which is representing the Mount Soledad Memorial Association.
We're disappointed that the Ninth Circuit did not rehear the case to preserve this Korean War Veterans Memorial that stood there since 1954.
He says Monday's ruling will be appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court. The Virginia National Guard has honored the memory of a chaplain killed in World War I with the highest decoration the state can award, the Virginia Distinguished Service Medal. Chaplain Thomas McNeil Bulla's family was presented the medal on Monday, 93 years after he died from his combat wounds. The presentation was made at the First Presbyterian Church of Emporia, Virginia, where Bulla was once pastor. I'm Steve Coleman.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Every year before the U.S. Supreme Court begins another term, a special church service is held in Washington, D.C. for the justices. The purpose is to ask God to guide them to make good decisions. For over 50 years, justices and top government officials have attended. However, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg is noticeably absent. She said, "I went one year and I will never go again." She's boycotting the service because the sermon contained a plea for the lives of America's unborn babies, and she didn't like being reminded of her pro-abortion position. She also said she thought Roe was decided out of concern about population growth. Quote, "In populations we don't want to have too many of." Of all the justices needing a church service, it's Ginsburg.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org. And stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Let's ask the pastor on the Bible study. Phones open at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our guest, Pastor David Jewell from Our Savior Lutheran Church in Moments, Illinois. We're going to follow up on a question David had for Pastor. But before we get into that, we've been talking about worship. And Pastor, why is that such a lightning rod issue in the church today?
Oh, because it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel. Martin Luther says in his lectures on Genesis that he gave in the 16th century that the first murder recorded in Scripture, the first murder in the world between Cain and Abel, was a murder over how to worship God.
Oh, yeah.
And ever since then, we have been struggling with this because, and it's a matter of the law, how much is enough? If I say or do or sing something in a certain way or a certain song or do this or do that, is it enough for God?
Twice on Sunday, once on Wednesday.
Yeah, is it enough? Is it good enough? Will it work? Will it work for God? Will he like that? And again, these are all in the realms of measurement, which is also in the realm of the law.
Now, David, he had that question for you. He couldn't meet the expectations of that church that he attended.
Yeah, that's very true. And there's an expectation that comes with being a Christian. And perhaps maybe we pastors try to bring this to our younger people and even to those who are adults who come to us from outside of our fellowship or even outside of the Christian faith. And maybe we just assume that, if you're here in church, if mom and dad are bringing you, or if you are coming and you are wanting to be a part of our walk together with the Lord, then you're going to want to be here. Perhaps the day has come where that assumption needs to be not so much assumed as it is talked about, and to say, certainly the Lord isn't keeping score, but at the same time, he does expect you to be with him as much as in you lies, and it is ultimately a matter of priorities. And that is where I think all Christians struggle. I know I struggle with that as a pastor. What are my priorities today? And what do I need to get done today? What can wait till tomorrow? And let's hope that my priorities don't stack up where I have to miss my day off or something like that.
So a question for you. If worship is a lightning rod issue, is it also a polarizing issue?
Very much so.
And if so, how do you get everybody in your congregation on the same page?
I am blessed that for the most part, serving a smaller congregation that have been well taught by previous pastors, well taught, that this is not a huge issue. At a voters meeting recently, I had one of my members say, Pastor, during Advent, could you season it up a little bit with some Christmas stuff? I know it's Advent and we're not supposed to sing Christmas hymns during Advent, but just season it up a little bit. And I said, sure. And a couple people began to give me some suggestions, and I said, certainly I'll take this into advisement, certainly. But yeah, it is it's a difficult thing because it so many times people think it's about, well, what the pastor wants or what the pastor is trying to dictate to us, and it's not so much that. It is what is best. That's the question. What is best, and what, furthermore, and I think even more importantly, what promotes Christ and what Christ has done for you?
So personal preferences really shouldn't weigh in on this.
No.
There's a higher road to take from what you're saying, and yet personal preferences are the cause of the polarity that exists within one church body.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, there are perhaps colleagues of yours who would disagree with you and say, look, I'm not into church growth. I have a heart for evangelism, and I want to go where people are. And if they have a preference that'll allow me to reach them through that preference, well, by golly, I'm going to do it.
I sat at a table this past February in our district, Northern Illinois District. Our pastor's conference was on this very topic. And at that table, there sat men who were like-minded with me, and there sat a couple who were not so like-minded with me. And the one thing, and I'll chalk this up to the felicitous joy that we have in the Lord Jesus, and that we can stand on the same page and say, the only thing that counts before our Father in heaven when it comes to statistics is the statistic that asks, were you faithful in dispensing the duties charged to you on the day that you were set apart to minister the gospel and the sacraments to the people under your charge and within the Christian church as a whole? And we could all sit there at the table and say amen to that. That's the only thing that counts before our Father, is whether you have been faithful in
And perhaps, I hate to use this term, but the marketplace, the people out there that are church shopping, are satisfying their preferences by where they decide to worship.
This is very true, and I have been so surprised in serving here for a little over 4.5 years at the fact that there are plenty of options out there. But I've been surprised at how people come here and they say, I am hearing something here that I don't hear in the other places. I like going to a small congregation. We average about 55 on a weekend. And they like that small, intimate setting where you know everyone and where you're blessed to have one-on-one care. I can just about do it with an average of 55 on Sunday. And to be around people who also appreciate this as well. The Lord has blessed my congregation with, like I said, some very intelligent lay people and very loving lay people who are willing to walk with their pastor and learn more day by day about our Father.
By the way, listeners, if you want to see the Wrong Worship video, there's a link on the ChristianPost.com website. Mm-hmm. It's the second most popular item right now in their top 10. The Wrong Worship video goes viral, prompts reflection on shallow worship. Well, there's something new that appears online today. Outspoken atheist Christopher Hitchens is weighing in on the debate over presidential candidate Mitt Romney and Mormonism, rejecting claims that questioning his faith amounts to prejudice. Hitchens says, we are fully entitled to ask Mitt Romney about the forces that influenced his political formation. He says that that influence is likely not small, considering he comes from a dynasty of his church and spent much of his boyhood and manhood first as a missionary and then as a senior lay official. Hitchens' comments come as Romney's Mormon faith is back in the spotlight following remarks by Baptist pastor Robert Jeffress, who said Mormonism is not real Christianity and is a cult. Jeffress, who leads First Baptist Church in Dallas, said earlier this month that Romney is not a true Christian and advised evangelical Christians to vote for a Christian, particularly one who integrates their faith with their practice.
On the one hand, I'll stand with Pastor Jeffress and say, I agree, Mormonism is not real Christianity and is a cult. On the other hand, I will not stand with Pastor Jeffress, and this may be difficult to understand, but hang with me here. When it comes to the political process, as I learned it in school, and I'm a child of the public school, you vote for the candidate who you think will best serve this country. I would almost rather vote for an atheist who has what I think to be, as a citizen of the United States of America, the right ideas to promote the general welfare of our country over a Christian who wants to integrate their faith with their politics to the point where it could be dangerous for our country and for the general welfare of the people of this country.
We've been discussing this issue on KFUO Radio, and it is a difficult one because we're aware that if Romney becomes president, that Mormonism goes mainstream.
It does. It goes out in the front and center, but it also gives us a chance, Paul, as Lutherans, to examine what Mormonism is, what it stands for, and at the same time, it also gives us the opportunity Mr. Romney be elected president, first of all, if he's even nominated by his party, to see whether or not he is perhaps promoting Mormonism over what his political stance is. It'll be interesting should this play out.
Do you think that this is a distraction more than anything else?
Maybe. I fear that anyone who is a Christian or has any sort of faith background, I fear that this is just going to play itself out for as long as the old world will go round, as to, well, will he integrate his faith? Will he try to convert the nation to Mormonism, or will he try to convert the nation to this or that? You know, why can't we just get a president who keeps his faith his faith and keeps his politics his politics? Well, I really don't know how ultimately this will play out, because I'm not blessed to see into the future, but it should be fun to watch.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's let Herman weigh in on this issue with Pastor David Jewell. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you. Yes, Pastor Jewell, just might make note that back in the early part of the 20th century, there was a Howard Taft was one-term president, and he was a Unitarian. I know I'm not a Unitarian, I'm not a Mormon, and I agree essentially that the Mormonism is not Christian. But Unitarianism really didn't catch fire because a man who was president was Unitarian. I'll just make that comparison in this, mm-hmm. this discussion. And also another point on the popular entertainment churches. I've talked to young people who brought up this consternation when they and their friends have gone to these big box entertainment churches. They're confronted with the demand by the pastoral leadership to show their income tax returns, W-2 forms, so they can it can be told to them how much of a tithe they're going to give. And I told, well, the Lutheran church is still open with its old staid liturgy, so to speak, if you want to say that. But we have the gospel freedom and the doctrine of justification. You don't have to do that to come in.
Very true. Very true. And we can circle back around to this. I had mentioned before the break that there was a surprise in wait for those who say, well, the young people will really enjoy this entertainment worship, and it's for them, and we're trying to keep them in church. Statistics are showing, and of course statistics are statistics, younger people are turned off by this. They are seeking for something that is more authentic. They're seeking for something, and that's now become a buzzword in the Christian church, authenticity. They're seeking for a church that says what it means and means what it says. And if you would like to know more about this, there is an interesting book, a couple interesting books, one of which I have read, one of which I know a bit about. One that I have read is called Almost Christian. And it's a fantastic book, and it's full of all kinds of statistics. So if you like numbers, there's a place for you to go. But what this all, and this brings us full circle, Paul, what this all leads back to as far as I could sing of your love on Sunday and I surrender some and so forth is what comes out of singing songs like that, and what comes out of churches that teach like that. And it is this thing, are you familiar with the phrase moralistic therapeutic deism?
No.
Moralistic therapeutic deism was created from the book called Soul Searching by Christian Smith. I became familiar with it about 2 or 3 years ago, and it has a creed. It has its own creed, and it's a 5-point creed. One, a God exists who created and orders the world and watches over human life on earth. So far, so good. Two, God wants people to be good, nice, and fair to each other as taught in the Bible and by most world religions. Three, the central goal of life is to be happy and to feel good about oneself. Four, God does not need to be particularly involved in one's life except when God is needed to resolve a problem. Sort of the whole God out of the box idea. Mm. Five, good people go to heaven when they die. This is summarizing the mm-hmm. faith of young adults and teenagers in our country today, because this is what churches have been feeding young people and young adults for a number of years. And if this is true, and I dare say that we see signs of it around us, we're in for a rough road ahead, we pastors, because now we have to unplug people from this idea and plug them back into what God's Word says, which stands against moralistic therapeutic deism.
Hmm. Herman, thank you for the phone call.
Yes,
thank you.
righty. 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Hi, Jan. You're on KFUO Radio with Pastor David Jewell.
Hi, Pastor Jewell. Hi, Paul.
Good morning.
Can you help me put a context on Ezekiel 13, verses 17 and following?
Ooh, I can do my best. Ezekiel is in the Old Testament, and it's one of the major prophets of the Old Testament, along with Daniel and Jeremiah and Isaiah. Ezekiel 13, 17, you say?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That says, "And you, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who prophesy out of their own minds. Prophesy against them and say, thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who sew magic bands upon all wrists, and make veils for the heads of persons of every stature in the hunt for souls. Will you hunt down souls belonging to my people and keep your own souls alive? You have profaned me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, putting to death souls who should not die and keeping alive souls who should not live by your lying to people who listen to lies." Is there anything in particular that vexes you about this?
Well, there are several things. Women are called to prophesy and pray in 1 Corinthians 11. But we've chosen to focus on the manner in which we should do that. You know, that passage talks about praying and prophesying without your head covered.
Mm-hmm.
And what vexes me about this particular passage is there are women who, and I'm trying to be charitable when I say that they are prophesying as opposed to usurping the pastoral office,
mm-hmm.
and leading people astray.
Mm-hmm.
So my question centers around the tendency to put people in jeopardy by refocusing their attention on some material gain.
Uh-huh.
And this sewing magic charms on all wrists,
uh-huh.
is that a material or a spiritual thing?
What Ezekiel 13 deals with in general is the condemnation of false prophets. And the original language of the Old Testament, Hebrew, is unclear about exactly what the magic bands are. Maybe it was some sort of way that that false prophets were able to put people under spells or something of that nature. But I do think the fact that we should be very careful that those who bear the burden of the Lord, whether it is people who like yourself, who may speak to your neighbor about the Lord Jesus Christ and about what He has done for us, or even for we pastors who are blessed to make a living proclaiming Christ and Him crucified, that we should not be involved in this ever for worldly gain. I joke with my congregation that I say I preach the gospel for free and you pay me to go to all of your meetings. And so we all should be very careful in the fact that when we do speak the word, whether it be as individual Christians or as a pastor speaking the word, that we not do it for personal gain, that we not do it for monetary gain, and that in all things we promote and glorify Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Does that help you?
Yes. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call. And let's go back to the phones here. You're on KFUO Radio with Pastor David Jewell. Good morning.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
You know, in the political realm, we're having a lot of discussion about Mormonism because we have a possibly a couple, well, it's not possible. We have a couple candidates that are of the Mormon faith. Mm-hmm. You know, is it possible that there could be a Christian that goes to a Mormon church with the thinking of a felicitous inconsistency, just like Lutherans, we look at the Roman Catholic Church, the Church of Works of Rome, as there's Christians there because of this inconsistency. Can that same thing apply to the Church of the Latter-day Saints? I'll hang up and listen to your comment, Pastor. Thank you.
Thank you.
If I may be so bold as to restate the question, can there be someone within the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints who, by felicitous inconsistency, which, by the way, is one of my favorite phrases in the study of theology, can they be saved? The answer is yes. The felicitous inconsistency even goes into cults. Felicitous inconsistency is the fact that someone within an erring church body or even within a cult could actually believe, as the Bible teaches, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that by his innocent suffering and death and resurrection he has redeemed the world and holds to the orthodox, the right teaching of Holy Scripture, even in a body of Christians that teach wrongly about God's Word. Mm-hmm. Certainly that is possible. Are there some within the Mormon Church? Perhaps, yes. There could be some even with any other faith in the world outside of the Christian faith, but we pray for those people that they would indeed be able to speak the truth in love where there is error, and ultimately leave an erring church body and join one that does teach in harmony with God's Word.
And finally, Harold Camping says, the world will end Friday. He just doesn't know how it will end, he told NPR today.
I don't know if God is going to destroy the world, burn the world with fire, but I know that the Bible uses that kind of language.
LaCourie won't.
Well, and that was David LaCourie speaking for Harold Camping.
Yeah.
Apparently it's going to be Friday now.
Well, I have been debating with my wife for a little while about whether or not I want to go buy a couple of pawpaw trees. And, this is northern Illinois, and I don't think you can grow pawpaw trees up here, but I agree with Martin Luther. If someone tells me the world was going to end tomorrow or Friday, I would probably go out and plant a tree, Paul.
There you go. And on that note, we'll wrap things up here with Pastor David Jewell from Our Savior Lutheran Church in Moments, Illinois. I want to thank you for being with us today. Hope you had fun. I think the listeners did.
I had more fun than human beings would be allowed to have.
Blessings to you and your ministry there in the Chicago area. Well,
God
sort
bless
of.
You too, Paul.
Deep burbs, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
We'll have more Ask the Pastor for you tomorrow here on KFUO Radio. It's part of our Bible study block between 10 and noon. On listener-supported KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. We thank you for listening, and we archive the program daily. You'll find it by morning. It takes a little time to get everything accomplished around here. But we'll have those programs podcast and available on the website by tomorrow morning at daybreak. All right, thank you for listening. Bye-bye for now, and be back tomorrow for more Ask the Pastor on the Bible Study. Listen Monday through Friday at this same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download programs from the Bible Study archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.